Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in the house of God again today. And you know, a few weeks ago, I was just waiting upon the Lord for, as I tend to do at this time of the year, for His word or His theme for the year ahead. And you know, the number 12 is very significant in scriptures. We see 12 dotted throughout the scriptures. We see it comes, you know, Israel was had 12 tribes. They were divided into 12 tribes. Jesus had 12 apostles. Revelation speaks that heaven is established upon 12 foundations. And there's two sets of 12 thrones around the throne of God. So the number 12 is quite a significant number in the Bible. And since we're coming into the year 2012, you know, I'm just asking God if there was a theme for the year that He'd want me to share and speak on. And you know, this thought came to me that 12, based on all those things, is the number of government in the scriptures. You know, it's the seat of authority. You know, in Christmas time reminds us that a new government has come. Now, if we're looking naturally, we might say that might not be a bad thing. But if we go to the scriptures this morning, I want us to go, I've got a few scriptures to read. So we turn to Isaiah chapter 9. This is a very familiar Christmas passage. Isaiah chapter 9. I just want to read two verses. Verses 6 and 7. And here in the scriptures, we read these words. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, what a scripture there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's what we will remember this week, or at the end of this week. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But then it goes on, it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. You know, that child that was to be born, that the prophet prophesied about, where he says that this child will be born, that the son will be given, the government will be put upon his shoulder. That child that was born, or that would be born, it was prophesied of him that he would break the yoke of bondage and Satan's oppression. You've only got to turn back a few verses in that chapter to verse 4. I didn't intend to shut my Bible. But in verse 4 it says, look, you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. You know, talking about this baby that was going to be born, that he was going to break the yoke of bondage. He was going to break the yoke of oppression. You know, and this child that we're talking about here is, let's not be mistaken, it's talking about Jesus. It's talking about this one that we are going to celebrate this week, that Jesus has been born. The Messiah, the Anointed One. It doesn't matter however much we wrap it up, the word Christ, or the word Messiah, both are translated the same word, and it means anointed. The anointed, when we talk about Christ, we're talking about the Anointed One. When we're talking about the Messiah, it's the Anointed One. You know, and this baby that was to be born, which the angel announced to Mary that he will be the Christ, the Messiah. He will be God's anointed. And the anointed, or the anointed one, breaks the yoke of bondage. And the anointed breaks the chains of oppression and sets people free. You know, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that night in Bethlehem? And it's been touched on already today. You know, no wonder that there was such great joy in Bethlehem, in the fields around Bethlehem that night. You know, the angels of God had closely guarded this secret that Jesus was to be born. You know, they protected Mary as she carried that baby. You know, they were guarding perhaps what was then the world's closest secret, that the Messiah was about to be born. The Christ was about to be born. The Anointed One was about to be born. God's Anointed Son. You know, and they came, and when Jesus was born, the angels, they just couldn't hold it in any longer. It says, and they appeared to shepherds in the field, and the whole place lit up like it was daylight. As God's glory came, and they burst into a rapturous song, and they said that Jesus the Messiah is born. He's come. God's anointed had come. What they were announcing to the people of Bethlehem, that it was time for a change of government. No longer was it going to be the government of oppression, but it's the government of the Anointed One. The government of the Messiah. God's government. And this is a government of peace. We read it in that thing, that verse there. You know, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. You know, this morning, you know, the angels are still announcing that God's government is a government of peace. You know, every Christmas time, you know, the message of, not just Christmas, but every throughout the year, but particularly at Christmas, as everybody's focusing on that the birth of Jesus there. You know, the angels are crying out, you know, good tidings of great joy. And the glad tidings of great joy. Because today is born in the city of David a Savior. You know, today God's government has come. Today the Savior has come. Today the Messiah has come. You know, today, in 2011, as we stand on the edge of 2012, the message is just the same, that God's anointed Savior is here. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You know, we need to get that revelation into our spirits. That Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God's anointed one is with us today. You know, Jesus came. We only have to look through the Gospels. You see, Jesus came to make people whole. He came to make them whole in their spirit. He came to make them whole in their soul. He came to make them whole in their body. You know, we see, just as you look through around these few chapters in Isaiah, from chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, and into chapter 10, we see it's talking about the Anointed One. You know, the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, it says in 10:27. You know, the burden will be taken away from the shoulder, the yoke will be taken from the neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. You know, God is in the business of destroying the yoke of bondage. And it takes a new government to do that. A change of government. No longer is Satan in control. But the angels announced on that beautiful night. You know, as the shepherds sat in the fields. And this isn't just a story that we read every year. This isn't just something to, oh, it makes a nice little thing for children to act out or anything like that. This is reality. that in the fields in Bethlehem, that the angel came and announced that God's glory had come. God's anointed had come. For years, he'd been prophesied. You know, the prophets prophesied about him. That he would be born. He would come. You know, and I can just excite me when I think about that thing. When the angels come and they say, look, we've been waiting all this, and now he's come. You know, and they burst into song, rapturous joy, as they announce this great thing that had happened. But what about 2012? Well, I was waiting upon God, as I said, just a few weeks ago, and you know, this thought came to me about the government. So I began to do some study in the scriptures on the government of Christ. Starting at this verse here in Isaiah chapter 9. You know, as I went through, I see that the government of the anointed one, or the government of the anointing, is to break the yoke of sin. You know, Jesus came to destroy sin. He came to take away sin. You know, he was born to be the Savior of the world. You know, and that was the annunciation to Mary, that when he comes, he shall save his people from their sins. You know, Jesus came, the anointed one has come to break the yoke of sin. The anointed breaks the yoke of sickness. The anointed breaks the yoke of oppression and mental torment. The anointed breaks the yoke of slavery. Those that are enslaved to habits. Those that are enslaved to addiction. Those that are enslaved to other things. The anointed breaks the yoke. Jesus came to break the yoke of sin. He came to break the yoke of sickness. The yoke of oppression. The yoke of slavery. And it says in that verse, it says that the government will be upon his shoulder. Now there's a significant statement there. The government will be upon his shoulder. Let's turn over in the scriptures to chapter 22, Isaiah 22. In verse 22. Isaiah 22:22, it says this. It says, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. The government will be upon his shoulder. This verse is talking about keys. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Eastern traditions, but keys were worn across the shoulder. They weren't small keys like we have. You know, some of these keys were large keys, and they were carried over the shoulder with a leather strap. And this just really was for convenience. But these keys laid on the shoulder or over the shoulder would be evidence to the person carrying them that they were either wealthy. Why wealthy? Because they owned property. If you got keys, you need it for unlocking something. So these, whenever you saw someone in the Eastern tradition there with keys on their shoulder, it either signified they were owners of property and therefore very wealthy, or that they were trusted people in a place of authority. And the keys were necessary for them to fulfill their duties. So these keys were worn on the shoulder. And it says here in the prophecy of Isaiah that the key of the house of David, God says, I will lay it on his shoulder. Who? The anointed one. Jesus, the one we're talking about this morning. And it says here, it says, he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. Well, you know that scripture because Jesus himself quoted that scripture in Revelation chapter 3. If you want to turn to it, to the church in Philadelphia, he declares, he says, I am the one who has the key of David. I am the one who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Jesus declared himself to be that person that this prophecy here is talking about. Jesus, the one who the government is upon his shoulder. The key of the house of David is laying on his shoulder. He has the authority. He has the power. He's wearing the keys. You know, and it says, Jesus went on to say in Revelation when he said, when he declared, he said, I am the one who's got the keys. And he says, look, he says, I'm setting before you an open door. And that is the theme that I believe God wants us to have for this coming 12 months. There's going to be a time of open doors, a time of opportunities. The next 12 months, God is going to set before us an open door. Or an opportunity to minister. An opportunity for minister. You know, Paul prayed this in Colossians. He says, pray for us that God would open for us a door for the Word of God. Pray for us that God would open the door. God is going to open the doors in 2012.
Amen.
You know, as I was waiting upon God, you know, the Lord spoke to me this statement I'm just going to about to read out to you. It was something personal to me, and I believe it's also for each and every one of us. Talking about the open door, God said this. He says, doors that have previously been closed to you will now begin to open up. You know, if you tried to open a door in the past, and you pushed it, and it might have budged a bit, but then it just seemed to close again, and you think, well, however on earth is God going to get me into this place, or, you know, take me to where, you know, you push doors, you push things, and it just seems like you're just pushing against the closed door. Well, God says that these doors will now begin to open up. So he says, push again, push again, push again. You know, this next 12 months, we are going to see something so spectacular in our lives, in our church, in our ministries, because this is going to be a time of open doors. Because the government of God has come. That's what Christmas is all about, that God's government is here. The Anointed One is here. He's come. Can I go on? Let's turn to Matthew 16. Again, this is another talking about keys. The keys of David were laid upon his shoulder. We read in Isaiah 22. The keys of David are laid on his shoulder. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 16? Let me read it to you. Jesus talking to his close friend, Peter, the apostle. And in verse 17, it says this. Jesus answered and said to him, to Peter, he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he said, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Then listen to this word. He said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Where were the keys of the kingdom? They were on his shoulder. But he says, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. You know, as a child of God, today, you are wearing the keys of the kingdom. They're on your shoulder. They're not on Jesus' shoulder anymore. He's delegated that authority to you. He gave it to Peter. Gave him to the church. And you're part of the church. If you're part of the church, then you are included in this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Just listen to this statement that Jesus made. This is powerful stuff. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Or in other words, whatever you bind on earth will be considered as bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Because Jesus has given us that authority. He's delegated that authority. You know that? He's delegated that anointing to you. You know, the Anointed One of God. The one that we are remembering at this time of the year that he came. You know, this one, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and there he's put that government upon your shoulder as a child of God. That means there's work to do. We've got work to do, church. There's work to be done. There's some things that we're going to start binding a few things. We're going to start loosing a few things. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And it's time we started binding a few things, a few strong men in the town. It's time we started loosing the Holy Ghost. It's time we started loosing the anointing. It's time we started loosing the blessing, letting it go free. You know, Jesus didn't come just to be kept wrapped up in a manger. Jesus came. He didn't come so that we could have Christmas. He didn't come so that he could be the subject of a few Christmas cards, or he could be the subject of some Christmas carols. Jesus came to die. He came to be the Savior of the world. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. For this purpose, he says, for this purpose I have come, to destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose. And in Luke 10 we read, and I don't want to go into it this morning because we did a study on it just a little while ago, but in Luke 10 it says that all authority is given to us. He's delegated it to us, to you and me. So we've got to start binding some things. We've got to start using that authority. We've got to start walking in the anointing that God has put upon us. We've got the keys of the kingdom. Now let's use them. Let's unlock a few things in the kingdom of God. Let's lock up a few things in Satan's kingdom. You know, the Lord spoke this to me quite a while ago and reminded me of it yesterday. That whatever we say, whatever we do, in light of our authority and in light of the anointing of God, that he will stand with us. You know, God will stand with you. Heaven will back you up. Let's just turn back to that reading, that verse in Isaiah 22. In Isaiah 22, verse 23, we didn't read it, but it goes on in verse 22, it says, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. Then it says this in verse 23, it says, I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place. Your God is going to back you up. You know, Jesus is a peg in a secure place. Have you ever tried to hang a picture on a nail which is wobbly? It doesn't work. You know that verse there, really, it's really talking about driving a nail, not so much into the plaster work of a wall, but driving it right into the brick itself, so it's secure, so it won't move. And God says, I'm going to fasten him, talking about Jesus here, as a peg in a secure place. The whole weight of heaven rests upon Jesus. So you thought of it like that. The whole weight of everything that heaven's got rests on Jesus. Everything that heaven has was found in that manger, wrapped up in the form of a baby. And Jesus, God's anointed,
is with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That peg in a secure place is with us. And if the whole of heaven rests on Jesus, and we've got Jesus with us, the whole of heaven rests on us as God's people. Jesus is the peg on which the whole of the government of God is established. Because the government of God is a government of anointing. It's a government that sets people free. I just want to finish with one more verse this morning. In the book of Ezra, chapter 9. And verse 8. Just listen to these words. Ezra 9, verse 8. It says, "Now, for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a peg in his holy place." Now, Jesus fulfills this prophecy. You know, God's given us a peg in the holy place. Jesus. It says, "Grace has been shown us from the Lord our God." It was God's grace, God's love that sent Jesus to be our Savior. It was God's grace and God's love that gave us Jesus. It gave us that peg in a secure place. And it goes on in verse 8, Ezra 9, 8, it says, "That God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage." That's the government of God. It's to revive us in our bondage. To revive us in our bondage. God's government is the government of revival in bondage. Breaking the yoke of oppression. Breaking the yoke of sin. Breaking the yoke of sickness. Breaking the yoke of slavery. That's what God's anointed one came to do. And that's what he did. Everywhere he went. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And God is with us in Jesus. You know, Christmas time is a time of great hopes and expectations, particularly amongst the young ones. Great hopes and expectations. They think about what they might get, hoping for something, expecting something. You know, maybe these, and remember, these young ones today are quite wise. They've got good ways of letting you know what they want. They might start quite early on in the year saying, "Have you seen this? Have you seen that? I really could do with one of those." You know, that expectation builds. Sometimes their expectations aren't realized. Sometimes they are. But I want to tell you this morning that all of your hopes, all of your expectations, all of your desires, all of your dreams, all of your aspirations can be hung on Jesus. He is a peg in a secure place. You can hang all of it on Jesus. Why? Because he's our Savior. He was born to give us, as it says in Ezra, a measure of revival in our bondage. You know, so as we celebrate this week the birth of Jesus, as we celebrate the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, God's anointed, let's remember that Jesus came with one purpose: to destroy the works of the enemy, to destroy the yoke of bondage, to destroy the yoke of oppression, to bring us revival in our bondage. That's setting people free. And God has given that authority to you and me as the Church of Jesus Christ. We have the authority.
We've got to start rising up, so I'm declaring now before God in this place that these next 12 months we're going to see some things broken. Some chains are going to be broken in Wisbeach. Some chains are going to be broken in this town. The yoke of bondage is going to be shattered in Jesus' name. Doors will open that we've never known open before. You know, we're going to be astounded sometimes when we see the way God is going to move to open doors to usher in this great work of God. You're going to be surprised. You're going to say, well, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. Because God is going to do spectacular, extraordinary, unusual things in 2012. I'm declaring to you today that this next 12 months will be a year of opportunity. A year of open doors. Why? Because it all started at Christmas. When Jesus came. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Before I hand back to Pastor Les, just to conclude the service and whatever else we're doing. You know, maybe there's those in the service this morning that just want to reach out to the Lord and you know, God's anointing has come. Yes, he was born in a manger. Yeah, nearly 2,000 years ago. But it doesn't change the fact that today, on this day in 2011, God's anointing has still come. Father, we just praise you this morning. Lord, for your love and your grace. Father, we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, that love which was shown. Lord, which we remember at Christmas time. Lord, we remember that you came in the form of a baby. Lord, you were born. Yes, you wasn't born in beautiful surroundings. Lord, you was born, Lord, in humble surroundings. Yet wrapped up in that small feeding trough was the anointed one of God. The Christ, the Savior of the world. But Father, today, just speak, Lord, your word over this congregation of people. Lord, and pronounce, Lord, that the anointing is flowing in their life. Lord, breaking the yoke of bondage, breaking the yoke of oppression, breaking the yoke of sickness, breaking the yoke of slavery. Those that are enslaved to habits and addictions, be free in Jesus' name. Be free. The anointing breaks the yoke. Receive God's anointing. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you for open doors. Lord, we just... Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're going to open doors for us this year. Lord, we're not even waiting, Lord, till January the 1st. Father, Lord, start beginning opening those doors today, Father. Lord, do it right now, Lord. Lord, that there'll be, Lord, opportunities, Lord, that, Lord, come across our path, Father. Lord, on the opportunities, Lord, that we would have thought could never have possibly come to pass. But, Lord, because the anointing of God, Lord, is strong in this day. Lord, those doors will just be unlocked and opened in Jesus' name. So Father, I declare and decree, Lord, that open doors, Lord, for each and every one of us. Lord, open doors for the church, Lord. Open doors for our ministries, Father. Lord, open doors, Lord, in our lives. Lord, there'll be promotions, Lord. Lord, there'll be, Lord, elevation, Father. Lord, that there'll be, Lord, prosperity, Lord. Lord, there'll be increase, Father. Lord, that there'll be opportunity, Lord, for your word to go forth. Lord, that there'll be salvation, Father. Lord, that we will see things take place. Lord, in these next 12 months. Lord, that we will only look, when we look back, Lord, at this time next year, Lord, we will say, Lord, that is, Lord, outstanding. Lord, that is so unusual. Lord, that is so miraculous. Lord, we give you glory. So, Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.